where he will lead me, I will go. Oh, I have learned to trust him so. And I remember, 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. Oh, Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. One more time. Whom would I go? No, now no fear. Happy with Christ, my Savior. He's so, so near. Trusting that now, yeah, I shall see Jesus, my friend. Thou art Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Greet your brother, greet your sister. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Oh Lord my God, in I am. same one in consider. Please, sister, how great, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great is our God. Rejoice, all the earth rejoice.
Spoken words. Desire to worship and obey. People desire to worship, but to worship and obey. We do greet you, saints, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank the Lord for song worship. Let's keep Sister Lily in prayer. She's had to travel to be with her brother who lost his mum, so she couldn't make it today. That's Sister Lily. Let's remember her. Brother Maxwell, Sister Angel, I want to thank the Lord for seeing them through their exams, Amen. To the great tribulation. It's never easy exam time. Let's bow our heads and remember this. Father, we bring everything to thee upon this day. Father, how we long to bring everything to your feet because you are good. Father, you're good all the time. Father, your thoughts are good. Your purposes are good. Father, your word is good. Father, no matter what it says unto us, it's good. And Father, we just desire to worship thee upon this day. How we long that you'd have the preeminence in each and every one of our lives, Lord. Won't you help us upon this day? Father, won't you just minister us to that place? Father, our sister's Lord's going to travel. I pray that you'd be with her. I pray your hand would be upon her. Use her, Father, as a comfort, Lord, to them that are mourning, I'd pray. Father, them that are in mourning, even in that place, I just pray, Lord, that you'd be present, that you would just, Father, be the one that can, Lord, comfort, because you are the comforter. And Father, Lord, as we open up your word, we're looking unto thee. We need you to break unto us the bread of life. Father, we need you to get into the words on the page and let them become life in our souls. Father, and you're the only one that can do that to us. Father, overshadow us upon this day as you overshadowed the virgin. And let us conceive and bring forth for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, let's open our Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, we're looking at this topic, continuing on about what we believe and why. So I wanted just to take, I thought it would be just maybe just one service to get into church order. You know, what do we really believe about church order? Because it's a very important part of things. And then, although it was quite a busy week at work and stuff, but just when I started to get into it, I never ever realized myself just what kind of topic this one is. You know, sometimes you get into something and the more you get into it, the more you start to see, my, this goes so far beyond everything you ever imagined. And you see so many solutions to so many of our problems in it as well. Amen. You know, so I really did thank the Lord for it. So I'm just going to be able to start off today. But we're speaking about the mystery of church order. You'd never think that church order is a mystery. But Brother Ramakrishna says church order is a mystery for the end time. I'll show you the quote. But we'll see, you know, when the moment you say we want to look at the mystery of church order, people straight away think just of the order of the sanctuary. You know, we mustn't talk in church, which is a part of church order. Or you may think of just something else, but we'll see it today that church order, according to the message, is something so far beyond that. Amen. You know, so I thought instead of just getting into the specifics today about what church order really is, you know, just the various things about church order, but I think it's necessary for us to understand the mind and the purpose behind church order. Amen. And I think if the Lord will help us come to the end of the service, I think maybe we'll see it in a different kind of a way. And that is my desire. It needs His grace, and may the Lord help us. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, Paul, he's just spoken about the ministry, bringing the church to perfection. Then he says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we wanted to grow up into the head. That's what we want, yeah? Mm-hmm. How do you grow up into the head? When you get into a harmony with Him. Amen. For His purpose for your life, for His thoughts, His headship, when it has the preeminence in your life, then you've grown up into Him. And that's really what we need. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, so it's a body thing we're speaking about, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So, Amen. Paul is saying that every part, when it's working effectually, when it's in its position, when it's working according to divine order, it has an effectual part to it. It affects the whole body. Amen. So every part has every organ, every member of the body has a part to play. But each member's got to be in order to play that part. And to be in order, we've got to grow up into Him. We've got to get into a harmony with Him. Because you can never be a deacon the way you're supposed to be if you're not in harmony with Him. I can never ever be a minister unless I'm in harmony with Him. Amen. No matter how gifted we are, no matter how talented we are, that's only one part of the equation. The rest of our being effectual in the operation in the body depends on our harmony with Him. Amen. That really is going to determine so much. The effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So this is a body move. And when each member is in its position, it builds up the body. It edifies the body. It strengthens the body and the body grows. So, you know, we know the church is the body. So when we're speaking of church order, we're speaking of the order of the church. And that's what Paul is speaking about here as well. Let's also read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4 up to 7. Just to remind ourselves again, when Paul came to set the church in order in his age, we'll see it. Whenever there's an exodus, God always has to set the church in order. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So the manifestation of the Spirit in any gift, any administration, any operation is for the benefit of us all. That's what he's saying. It's not just for your benefit. You may be very talented as an individual, but unless you can find your harmony and place in the body, you're not really playing your part. You know, because it's a body move. And that's the whole thing about church order, is finding our position in the body. That's the first thing we'll find. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. If I can say straight away, the aim of church order, the divine aim of church order, three things that perhaps we could say church order, the Lord has instituted it for, the order of the body. Number one is to keep God in the church. That's what He wants. Number two is to keep the devil out of the church. And then number three, which we'll focus on a little bit today, is to keep the body effectually ministering to itself. And that's an important part. Because the moment that we lose divine order, we find the body doesn't minister to itself anymore. And then we find we've got problems, you get to see the different things taking place when we don't have that ministration, the effectual ministration of each member, the body to itself. Amen. Now, to understand church order is to understand God working through His body. That's why God institutes order. Now, God is a God of order. Right in Eden, we've just seen it now with this referendum. You know, God has an order for the family, and God does something, and He doesn't do it for nothing. Amen. Now, if God has something that He establishes in Eden, and He puts Adam, and He puts Eve, and from there comes the family, you know, there's a reason why God makes the family the way that He does. You know, we may try to tamper it and play with it. I mean, man can do anything that he wants, but you'll always reap the repercussions when you don't follow that original order. Because God has a mind behind His order. Amen. That's the key. God's order isn't just words that we say. I'm very sorry. I wanted to say something before service. We came today in the galaxy. So we really do appreciate the saints. You know, it's back on the road. It passed its MOT. It took quite a long time because, you know, Brother James up there, he was fixing it. And, you know, there was a lot of things happened. He got a lot of trouble at his work. You know, the devil's very cunning how he works. But we really do thank the Lord. So we came with Sister Vida today. We're really glad to see her once again. Amen. So I wanted just to say that. So, and I really wanted to thank the saints. Everybody helped us with the galaxy. It was quite a big effort. We did manage to get it on the road once, took it for a test drive, and then the power steering packed out again, so it had to go back for more repairs and stuff. So we really thank the Lord. We appreciate the saints. It's so nice to be back in the galaxy once again, not squashed in the Passat, but fitting everybody. So we really do appreciate the saints for that. So when we speak in here, we're speaking about the purpose that God has. Now, whenever you're speaking about your call, your position, you know, whatever it is that the Lord desires from you, God didn't call you and I for nothing. No matter who you are, brother, sister, you may be a young person in church. If there's a divine call, if Christ has drawn nigh unto your soul at some time, revealed Himself, has redeemed you, there's a mind that God has behind that. God has a purpose in doing that. Amen. You know, God doesn't just do things haphazard. Whenever God institutes something, there's a divine purpose in that order. Amen. Now, the problem with us, many times we can know the outward order without knowing the mind behind that order. And that's the thing which I fear. You know, I was just speaking to some saints in Northern Ireland last week about that very thing. You know, you find, I won't mention the name, but you know him very well, a pastor who left the message in America. 40 years in the message, yeah? Him and his family. And they leave the message. And straight away, what's the first thing that his wife does? She cuts off her hair. She puts on trousers. She puts on makeup. So you can sit for 40 years under the message without knowing the mind behind the message. Without knowing the purpose. Because it shows she never understood why God said it's a disgrace for a man to have long hair. And that a woman shouldn't cut her hair. She had just been taught something and she just was following what somebody said. But she never understood why. And I don't want that sense. I want to try on this topic, try to understand, so we understand why God says certain things. Because if we can catch the revelation behind why, God doesn't just want to put things in us to make life difficult for us. Now, everything has a divine purpose behind it. And if you catch that purpose, you'll automatically fall in line with the order that God has set. But we can keep the order without having the anointing, without having the revelation. Then it's not a blessing to God, it's not a blessing to you. So we don't want it to be like that. You would rather have it that you get in the spirit of the order. Understand, why did God say this? Why did God say it's an abomination for a woman to wear a garment that pertains to a man? And for a man to wear a garment that pertains to woman. We were speaking with the saints about that the other day. Now, God, he has something in his mind when he says that. Amen. God isn't just trying to come to say, okay, woman, I want you to wear a skirt. That's good. But why does he want that? Now, God's not an order of confusion. But the problem is sometimes we don't go and ask him or really draw near to him. Say, but Lord, I want to do this in an acceptable way. I don't want someone to force me to do these things. I want to do this so that it pleases you. Because the Bible says, anything done without faith is sin. Yes. Now you can keep the outward, but it still be displeasing to the Lord. Amen. You'll find sisters that have makeup hidden in their bags. Yeah, and they go out of church and they've got makeup in their bags. Rather wear makeup to church. Don't put on a mask. Show us who you are so that the word can come and transform you. But why do something like you're obeying an order without understanding what you're doing? Now, if you don't catch the revelation, why should we not put makeup on? Now, is it not more important for us to understand why? For those kind of things, God has a purpose for that. Right back to Eden, when God instituted order in Eden, there was a reason why God came and put things in a certain order. And God is the supreme intelligence. And God is love. So when he does something, there's a motive, an objective behind what he does. And for us to serve him in a way that pleases him, we need to enter into the mind behind the order. So that we say, oh Lord, that's true. This is good. Lord, you are wise. And then you'll do the things from the right motive. And then we can bring it even to gifts and administrations and offices. You can be whatever, a minister, a deacon, a trustee. But unless you really understand, why did God put a deacon in church? Why did God institute the office of deacons? No, you might be a deacon to ask, but why am I a deacon? It's because the people voted me a deacon. But if we could get more into the mind, but what was God's thought in instituting deacons in the church? Would that not help you as a deacon and also us relating to you as a deacon? If you understand, what is the purpose, the divine purpose of this order that God has set? If you want to know what is a trustee, what is God's mind? Why does a church have a trustee? No, or trustee board? What is the thought and the mind behind that? I think if the Lord would help us on that, we can then better interact one with another. We can then better, you know, use the gifts and the offices and the ministries God has given. And those that have these positions know exactly why they're there. And how God wants the anointing to work through them in that position that they're called to. So that's my mind on these things here. When I started looking at order, the first question you ask is, but why did God put this order? Why does God want things like this? And knowing that he is always right in what he does. Amen. And that his thoughts are as high as the heaven is above the earth from ours. And that we should forsake our thoughts and our ways. They mean nothing. We need to move into that realm of this mystery of church order. Amen. To understand what has God got in his mind here. And when you see it, it's a mighty picture, friends. Amen. God is so mighty in what he wants to do in and through his people. In such a simplicity as well. But in every single office and administration, every single gift, every single ministry, God has a specific mind behind it. He has a specific purpose for instituting those things for the good of His body, for His glory, for His kingdom. You know, and that's the key, is maybe for us to say, spend a little bit of time of thinking of the reason behind these things. Because what are we trying to seek? We're wanting to get to a position, each of us as individuals in the body, that He can better operate through us. Amen. That's what you want. Don't you want that in your life? You know, you can try to keep as many things as you want, you know, in whatever office that you have. You might have your own ideas and your own purpose of what you want to achieve in that office. But if you are not a channel so that God is anointing you and using that office according to His divine parameters and order that He set for that office to minister to His people, to edify His body. If you are not effectually ministering to the body, we haven't come to perfection yet. You know, we might be doing a lot of things, using a lot of activity, a lot of effort, but God has a way. And like, you know, the way you look at it is like the two sides on a gun. God has His vision for your life. God has His vision for an office or a ministry or a gift. And the moment that starts lining up with you, your life starts lining up with that purpose, God starts to flow through and bless. Amen. God can now anoint and God can use that office the right way. So you've got to line yourself up, come into a harmony with what God's mind is, what God's purpose is for whatever that He's calling you to do. And like I say, we can be very good as individuals many times, but you don't have a harmony with others in the body. You know, and that shows, yes, it doesn't mean we're not gifted, doesn't mean we're not called, doesn't mean we're not predestinated, but we haven't grown up into headship yet to understand how does this calling in my life interact with other people in the body. Because in the body, I mean, the liver can't live on its own. The heart cannot live separated from the body. Every member of the body depends on the other members of the body. Amen. And ministers to the body and receives sustenance or whatever it is from the other members of the body. Defense, protection, whatever that it is. You know, and so it's like us as individuals. You may be very talented in your own individual ministry or calling, but that doesn't mean you've reached adoption yet. Because adoption is when you find your place in the body. And that's what church order is, finding your place in the order of the church. When God sets an order how the church is to function and to operate, now you finding your position in this great order. Amen. That would be a sweet picture, friends. Amen. That's a sweet picture if you think about it. Not too many amens, but well, we hope we'll get some more as we go along. You know, but we hope that people will, like Brother Biscoe says, people will say, ouch, or something if you stand in your toe. At least there'll be some kind of a reaction. Look what the prophet says here, greatest battle ever fought. He was looking at the stars when he was out hunting with the brothers. We know this. And he says, when I thought about that being God's great army there. You know, so he's looking at the heavenly host and he says, that's God's great army. He says, now we went to bed and I began to think that not one of those get out of their place. They're all set in place. And if there's a moving anywhere out of them, it's for a cause and will affect the earth. So the moment one of those members in the heavenly host moves out of place or moves into a certain position, you find when the planets line up, it does something on the earth and all those things. So everything is interrelated. That's what he's trying to show here. You know, a star has its own brilliance, it has its own splendor, it has its own purpose, it has its own name. But just on its own, that's not what it was made for. It was made for this entire system that works as God's great army. So he's speaking of this order. Then he says, and I thought then, if that great heavenly host like that has to keep its place to make everything in order, what about the disorder of the earthly host? How when one gets out of order, how it throws the whole program out of cater. Amen. Then the whole program of God is upset when one member gets out of order. And we know that. We've experienced that. You know, and it's just growing pains of, you know, because we can have our individual ministries. You may be a father. You may have children. The children are young. You've never had children before. You know, so you may try to institute a certain order with them and you find it's not really working the way that it should. Doesn't mean you're a bad father. No, it's just the process of learning, trying to find what is God's order for the home. No, to try to get more into harmony with when God established fatherhood. What did he have in his mind? Why did God, like Brother Barry said that time, why did God make us not just get born at the same time? Why did he make certain people get born before other people? No, so that these ones with experience can minister to the ones who don't have experience to help them along. You know, God has a purpose in what he's doing. Why is the man the masculine one in the family and the woman is the feminine? She's the softer one and so forth, generally speaking. Now, God had a purpose in establishing that order. Yeah, but we all know as fathers, you don't just automatically come to perfection, to maturity as a father in a day. It's a process. So it's going to be the same with us as a body. Like we said, when we started here, we didn't have any teenagers. We started here just with all of us with young children, babies and so forth. Just have one or two children that were above 10 years old. So we never had a place like we are now where we have problems with youth. You see, so it's something which you all of a sudden coming against, which you never came against before. It's like if you're a mother, you know, or your wife, then you become a mother. You're going to come across things you never ever encountered before. So what you're going to try to do, those problems are good when they come, as long as they cause you to go and try to find out, what is the divine mind? No, what does God expect of me as a mother? What is the role of motherhood? You know, this isn't working the way that I really thought it should be. So maybe I'm trying to do God a service here, but this isn't his perfect will. Amen. Maybe I'm David, I'm the anointed man, I'm the king of Israel. You know, I'm in my position as a king. But maybe, you know, we're wanting to bring the word, but I put it on a new cart. Yeah. You know, this isn't really the way that this should be done. And then God allows trouble to come, and then David goes and searches. We'll see it later. Amen. Hey, I should have gone to the prophet and see, what did the prophet say about this? Amen. Then he goes to Nathan, and then Nathan unveils him. No, it's the priesthood. There's an order that God wants. Amen. And God can never bless you outside of this order. Then he learns from that now and institutes right order. So I think God's trying to do that to each and every one of us. Amen. Yeah, and this great learning process of life and this message that we've received, it is such a resource, friends. Amen. You know, I was saying in the car on the way down, Brother Tom the other day, he just texted me two questions that were asked at his church. I was at work. The first question, it was about which children go in the rapture. I just got my phone, went on the table, said, children rapture. Two questions in questions asked on the seals, exactly that question. Copied them, pasted them, sent them back. The second question was, Revelation 20 verse 4, these that are beheaded for not receiving the mark of the beast, they seem to be the bride. Is this the bride? Search in the message, beheaded. There's Brother Bram. Answering the same question, Revelation 20 verse 4, these are the bride from the dark ages. Yeah, that overcame the mark of the beast in age. I took it, pasted, put it, and sent it to Brother Tom within 3 minutes. And I said to myself, I said, what a resource we have at our fingertips. But are we using this resource, I wonder? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we use our own understanding. Sometimes we use our culture, our customs, our own ideas. But God has given us such a resource, friends, amen, that when we're not sure about something, we're trying to find out what is the divine mind? What is the mind of Christ concerning something? Sometimes it seems to be the last resource that we go to. We exhaust everything else. Then we go to this great end time resource that God has given us. But friends, the message is a powerful thing. Amen. It's a powerful thing if you use it the right way. If your motive and objective are right when you're approaching the message. You're not just trying to prove that you know more than somebody else. But you're seeking for answers. You're approaching it the right way. It's a tremendous thing that the Lord has done for us in this age. He really, really has. And I learned a lot from that. I said, my, if only people would realize what they've even got in their phone. No, what you've got in your computer, what you've got on your MP3 player. If we could better utilize that divine resource that God has given us in the end time, we'd have so fewer questions and troubles in our own individual lives. That's a powerful thing that the Lord has done for us. So when we're speaking of these things, the prophet, when he speaks about the heavenly host, yeah? He also speaks about the divine symphony. You know, so if you think about an orchestra, there's got to be an order there as well. Amen. There's the order of this, the orchestra. You may have very gifted individual musicians. Somebody might be a maestro at playing the violin. But if they cannot integrate that gift, cannot bring that talent and that ability to fit in with the rest of the instruments, to what's the right time for me to play, what's the right sequence that I should come in, when should I stop, you know? If they don't find their position in that great order, no matter how talented that we are, it never becomes a blessing in the symphony. Amen. So that's what order is all about, is you trying to find out your predestined place, your predestined position, and how to operate in the body, how to operate in harmony with the rest of the body. This is what real church order is about. Everything else falls under that. All the way we should dress, the way we should conduct ourselves are all an important part. But we can have all those things without going a level higher and saying, hey, saints, this all requires harmony with Him. Because I can never be what I'm supposed to be unless I'm growing into Him. Amen. Unless I'm getting deeper and deeper into harmony. And sometimes we learn obedience through the things we suffer. You know, the Lord has many, many ways of teaching us. But the whole aim and purpose He has, He wants to bring us into harmony with Him. Amen. So if you look at yourself as a mother, now ask yourself a question. What does God expect of a mother? What is motherhood? Search it in the Bible. Search it in the Message. There's plenty said about it in the Message. In parables with the opossum and with the woman in Memphis and all those different things. John Wesley's mother and so forth. You just start searching, you're going to find there's so much there for you to meditate on, for you to yield yourself unto in the Message concerning just motherhood. And when He speaks about blind Bartimaeus, his mother would take him on the knee and tell him the Bible stories and all those different things. Now, if you could just go and feed on that for a while and meditate on that and get the virtue and find the mind behind motherhood. Amen. What does God intend a mother to be? Now, you can't do it without anointing, without revelation. You can't. Amen. We can never fulfill order in an acceptable way outside of it being a revelation to us. And outside of us moving to a place that He can anoint us in it. Because the body can't supply the needs of the body without being anointed to do so. But the moment you move in harmony with your purpose, with your calling, it's automatic God's going to anoint you. Amen. That's the position of authority. That's the position of unction. That's the position of vision and purpose. Is when you're starting to line up now with what God has in His mind. Amen. When you start lining up with Him, something starts to take place and you feel it and you know it, that those kind of times that you're moving in a channel and something here is different. Amen. This pleases the Lord. Amen. There's a reality. There's something here now. You know, and that's God trying to confirm to you in His own way and in your own individual way that you're starting to move into a harmony with Him, which is what He desires in any calling, any position, any place. Look what the prophet says about harmony. Church age book. Now, sometimes we can take this and push it too far away. It says, notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed Him by the Father. John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. Amen. Now, it's not going to be like turning on a light switch. One day you don't have harmony with Him, the next day you're in perfect harmony with Him. This is going to be Him leading you into a harmony. Teaching you and training you and, you know, guiding you and helping and encouraging and urging you to lay aside the things that keep bringing you out of harmony with Him and surrendering yourself and yielding and coming more and more consistently to a place that you are in harmony with Him. And how do you know that you're in harmony with Him? Because the Word becomes flesh then. Then He uses you and you see, but oh, that was a ministration to the body. He anoints you and the Word manifests itself in some way. You go and you witness to somebody and the Lord brings them to Christ. You pray for somebody, the Lord heals them. What does that mean? When the Word becomes flesh, it shows you now approaching the harmony of the Father and the Son. You've now got a harmony in that part of your life with God. And God is vindicating that harmony because now He can work through. He can now flow through. No, you've lined up with that purpose. You're coming into a harmony with Him in that. So you can always tell that. And what is adoption is when we can consistently operate in harmony with Him. Because now maybe we can get in harmony with Him for a while and something pulls us out of harmony again. Now then He can't flow through and maybe we're doing things our own way. We've got our own ideas, our own understanding. And then after a while we get ourselves back into that place of the heavenly host, the earthly host. Things start lining up again. Then you find God comes real. Revelation comes in your life. Vision comes in your life again. God starts using you once again. And you say, but hey, I don't ever want to leave this place. And then the devil's not going to leave you there. He's going to try to bring you out of harmony as quickly as he can. But adoption, like the prophet, we've seen it many times when he studied the prophet's adoption, and that how the Lord had to lead him through things, his wife dying, his child dying, and going to South Africa, the Ministerial Association, all those different things where he allowed things to take him out of harmony with the divine purpose for his life. And he suffered because of that. And those lessons taught him as time went by. Until 1963, you find here's someone fully in the hands of God. Here's someone who's fully in harmony with the divine will. And then God now can come and use this man to the fullness of the desire, the purpose that he had for this man. And take the man now. This is my son. Hear ye him. And that's really what you want. And that's what harmony is all about. It's becoming more consistent. And you know it when you please him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You can't please him when you don't know that you pleased him. You can't be moving near to the place you're supposed to be. You look at your children when they start doing things the way they should, and it pleases you. Is it possible for you not to tell them that it pleases you? They're going to know. And when they do things that displease you, they're going to know pretty soon as well. That's not the way that I want things done here. Is he not our Heavenly Father? Is it not the same way? So don't put that quote too far away. Because if you look, any believer has had places of real harmony with the Lord. Maybe there's certain areas of your life you really are in harmony, but maybe there's other aspects which you find I'm not really perfectly in harmony here. And that's what he's trying to do, bringing the church in order. And when the church gets in harmony with him, they're going to be in harmony with one another. And that's going to be a mighty army, friends. That's a mighty army. Satan's going to have nothing that he can do when the church moves into that sphere. That sphere of God's mind, his mystery of church order, where he wants his church to get to as the body of Christ. That's what he's looking to. So the prophet says this is to function between the groom and his bride. And I'm sure you want that to function in your life more consistently. As a deacon, when you come into harmony with God's mind for what a deacon should be, what a blessing you become. You find somebody who's a minister and they move into that harmony, the whole body can feel there's a blessing. Amen. A musician, you know, whoever it is, a trustee, a brother, a sister, someone who's given to prayer, administrations, helps, whatever calling people have, it becomes a blessing. Even a husband and a wife, when they get into a harmony, they become a blessing. They become a great blessing to the whole body because people can look and say, there's something sweet there. Amen. You know, I want my marriage to be like that. Now, there's something taking place there that's beyond just the normal realm of marriage. They've entered into some kind of a mystery. They've entered into some place deeper where I've entered into on their marriage. You see, so that's what God wants to do through his body, so that the body ministers to the body. Now, the next point is God can only honor his word. Amen. God doesn't honor your sincerity or mine. No, it's not our sincerity that counts anything with God. No, God does. I'm sure he's glad when we're sincere. But God can only honor his word. So no matter how sincere we are with things, if God's not honoring it, we're not yet fully in harmony with his word. We're not yet fully in harmony with his purpose for that particular aspect, because God is not honoring it. God is not manifesting himself in it. Therefore, we need to go back and say, Lord, what is your mind? Where are we falling short? Where are we not following divine order here? Because the moment you line up with his word, God's always going to come and flow. God's order is going to anoint. The blessings are going to come. All the covenant blessings come when you're in the promised land. Amen. As long as you're in the land, you're in your position, God's going to bless you under that covenant. A moment like Abraham, you leave, no matter how sincere you are, take yourself down to Egypt, have your own idea of how situations can be handled. He didn't start being a son. The covenant was still in effect, but he lost the blessings of the covenant, the prophet says. And then the moment he came back to between Bethel and Ai, went back to his original altar, God comes down and speaks to him again. And the vision opens up again, and God starts to bless him again. And it's always like that. Amen. Friends, getting in order is the most important thing you and I can ever do. Amen. Rapturing faith depends on us being in order. No, the ministration of the Spirit depends on us being in order. The manifestation of God in his people depends on divine order. Amen. It all depends on divine order. Look what he says, and take inside with Jesus. In this message, the prophet says, I went to study the early church to find out how those men of God set the church of God in order. He said, I studied it real good. So a very nice message. And he went to see, but how did they order things in the early church? Because we have to go back to the beginning. You've been restored back to the original once again. But he says it in Taken Side of Jesus. He says, now we're going to start off with the early church and just bring it for about 5 minutes now. And he took about an hour and a half, for about 5 minutes now, down to what they did. And then I can show you the vision I have for the future. So you can see the prophet went back and said, how did they order things there? And I'll explain to you why he did this. Because he had to. It was his commission. But then he looks and said, how did they do it? And then he said, oh my. When he entered into the vision, the mind behind what they did, he says, we need to institute this. And he came and says, I want to show you my vision for the future. Amen. I want to show you what God has revealed to me in that realm of vision for the future. One of them had fallen. They chose Matthias to take his place, Acts chapter 1. And the Holy Spirit waited until all this was in order before it came. Yeah. Now that's a challenge, friends.
Amen.
That answers a lot, doesn't it? Individually and as a church. God waited, though they were His people, though they were called as His people, though He had tutored them, the teacher Himself, Jesus, had been with them. He waited until He got everything in order. And then God sent the blessing. Because God can only bless His word. God can't, if God doesn't love you, He can bless you outside of His word. The false anointed one. But if you are son and daughter of God, God will not bless you outside of finding harmony with His purpose for your life. You'll be defeating His own purpose. God will never bless us as a congregation without order.
Amen.
Without us getting into this realm of order and instituting divine order by the grace of God. And that needs every single one of us. Because this is the order of the body. This is the order of the earthly host. We can never expect the full blessing of God if we're not in order. If we don't have the divine order. And that's what the prophet was saying. That's why he came to preach Taken Side of Jesus. When he was thinking about the order of the early church. Now, just to show that church order, he says, is a mystery to be revealed in the last days. So this issue of church order was a part of Revelation 10:7. The mystery of God has to be revealed. This is part of Malachi 4, turning the hearts. This is the part of the restoration of that which was lost. This revelation of order is a mystery. And a mystery can only be spiritually revealed. So we can't fulfill order in a satisfactory way once again unless we get in the spirit of it.
Amen.
Unless we get under the unction and the anointing of it. Because it's a mystery. This is something that God had sealed in Himself, which had been lost in the early ages. Listen to what He says in unveiling of God. He says, this is the hour of the seventh angel's message. All the mysteries of God should be made known in that Elijah.
Amen.
This last hour. How? Now look at the different parts of the mystery. How that Christ is put out of His church. That was a mystery that had to be made known to us. We saw it last week. Revelation 3, I stand at the door and I knock. He's no longer dealing with the church systems anymore. He's out of the church systems. He's dealing with His bride. And what is He dealing with about His bride? To bring the church into order. That's what He's wanting. He says, how that Christ is put out of His church, the Son of God. How He is revealed as Son of Man again. That's a part of the mystery. The ministry of the Son of Man. The Word made flesh once again in our age. The return of the pillar of fire. The same that came to Abraham, Genesis 18. The same Melchizedek that had come now came clothed in flesh with discernment and so forth. That was part of the mystery that had to be made known. So Christ being put out of the church, but the pillar of fire returning to the bride. To call out a bride, but not just to do that. He says, how that the church is to be put in order. And everything for the last day. No creed, no denomination, just absolutely the Word living in the individual.
Amen.
So for you and I, if we say, the Lord's led me into His order, it's the Word living in you.
Amen.
What does God say about being a deacon? What does God say about being a trustee? What does He say about being a father? What does He say about being a mother? What does He say about being a teacher, an evangelist, a pastor, whatever it is? God has a mind. God has a word concerning a purpose, a divine purpose for that. And when we come into order, that word is living through us. That word is living through us. We're anointed to do it. We're in the right channel, right harmony, right position, and it's going to flow. Yes, in earthen vessels, like we always say, you know, because we don't want to put it that we're going to be having angels' wings. No. But inside of your soul, you've come to a harmony. Amen. There's a certain place in that position that now the word is working through you. God's word concerning the office of a deacon, and what should a deacon fulfill in the church? What should a deacon's ministry be? What should a trustee's ministry be? What should musicians, song leader? What is God's mind towards those things? What about the other offices and administrations and gifts in the church? Now God, when He establishes something and calls you to something, He has a very specific purpose. There's a reason He's called you to do it. And we'll see it. There's boundaries and parameters around that. And He wants us to use all of the land He's given us, but not go beyond those boundaries. Amen. And sometimes the mistake we make, we take away from our calling. Sometimes the mistake we make, we add to our calling. And both ways we get ourselves in trouble with the Lord. Amen. Because now we're trying to do God a service, but you're not doing it according to being in harmony with His divine will. So we wanted to come into this harmony with Him as individuals. So the prophet says, the word living in the individual.
Amen.
So he says, it's that Elijah. Now let's think of Elijah. Elijah, when he was sent, when was he sent? On Carmel. The time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. So the message is the offering of the evening sacrifice. That's what it is. And the fire fell on the offering at evening time. But in order for that fire to fall, Elijah came according to the vision.
Amen.
He came knowing God's mind. What did God want? Now he let the prophets of Baal do all of their denominational ideas. And they jumped and they cut themselves and made a lot of fuss and a lot of effort. And heaven was like brass. But then at evening time, when Elijah saw the time has come, he saw the time now for him to move, lined up with the vision that he had seen before. And now's the time for me to work. Timely. Now it says it in 1 Kings. You can put it up, sister. 1 Kings 18, verse 29. Let's just look at a few things about Elijah on Carmel. It says, 1 Kings 18, 29. And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Friends, I don't want my prayers to be like that.
Amen.
I don't want my service for Him to be like that. That I'm putting a lot in, putting a lot of effort, trying my best, but nothing's really answering back from the supernatural concerning what I'm doing.
Amen.
It means there's something out of order here. Verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. Like we said once before, friends, in evening time, we have to come near to Elijah. We don't want to stay far off from this message and expect the blessing. We've got to come near. We've got to have an intimacy with this message. We've got a fellowship with the message. He says, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down.
Amen.
Imagine. The altar was broken down. People were thinking you're going to get something from God when the altar's broken down. People are wanting the supernatural to work, but the natural's not yet in order.
Amen.
The altar's got to be set in order.
Amen.
You want God in your home? The altar's got to be in order.
Amen.
You want God in whatever part aspect of your life? You want something to speak from the supernatural realm? Put it in order.
Amen.
What is God's order concerning that? Verse 31, and Elijah took 12 stones. He didn't do things haphazard. This was according to God's divine purpose.
Amen.
There was a revelation behind everything he was doing. This stone represents Manasseh. This stone represents Zebulun. This stone represents Simeon. Every one of those things. Other people might have looked from far off, weren't in the anointing, weren't in the dimension that he was, and thought, oh, this guy, what's he doing? Why is he worrying about this? But everything he was doing was in harmony with a vision.
Amen.
In harmony with what God was expecting at that time. What God had showed him to do. So he comes and he puts all of them. Verse 33. If you skip to 33, sister. And he put the wood in order. He didn't just throw the wood on the altar. There was a certain way the Lord had showed him he wanted the wood to be put. And he took that wood and he put it in order. My friends. And those people that were drawing near of that 7,000 ever bowed their knees, they started to sense that something important is taking place here. God's trying to teach us something here. We need to keep this order. So he kept put the wood in order. Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I've done all these things at thy word.
Amen.
Oh, friends, if we could pray like that. If whatever ministry we have, we could go before the Lord and say, Lord, please bless song worship today. I've done all of this according to your word.
Amen.
Hey. If I could come today as a minister and say, Lord, all of this I've done according to your word. I'm in harmony with what you showed me. I'm in harmony with what you revealed to me. Lord, flow through to your people.
Amen.
Is that not what you want in any gift ministry, administration, office?
Amen.
Like I'm saying, in the home, anything. If you're wanting God's blessing, if you're wanting the supernatural to work, for God to come and open up another dimension and help us in this Satan's Eden the way that it is, this issue of order is very important.
Amen.
Because when things are out of order, no matter how much God can bless in a measure, He'll never bring His full blessing.
Amen.
He never will. That's what I really saw on this one. I said, oh Lord, may you help us. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God. And that Thou hast turned their hearts back again.
Amen.
The ministry of Elijah. Where does it turn us back? To the original order.
Amen.
Nothing new, friends. Paul established an order in his age. He came and laid that foundation, the apostle to the Gentiles. The prophet says, I went and I was studying the early church to see how those men of God set the house of God in order. And he said, it struck me real good. And I've come to show you my vision for the future. Can you see? It's nothing new. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. When the fire falls, it means there's a harmony.
Amen.
Somebody's attained to a harmony. A harmony with His divine purpose for that time, that position, that place. Somebody's found a harmony. He has a prophet in harmony.
Amen.
And he lays everything in order. Working in that channel is in harmony with the mind of God. And puts the order in place. And God says now that sights are lined up correctly. And God flows through. And here comes the blessing. And in whatever measure, it's like that in every aspect of our life. The moment you get in harmony with Him concerning something, you find problems in the home. Somebody's out of harmony. Somebody's out of harmony. It's not easy. But it holds back the blessings. Now, this comes down to one of the key points now. Is headship.
Amen.
Headship.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're living in the age
Amen.
Where headship's returned.
Amen.
Through the church ages, the headship wasn't there. Listen to what the prophet says. Sorry, if you can put the slide again. This is from Questions and Answers. He's speaking about the ministration through the body. I'll just read the quote first. It says, then watch the works of it. He's speaking of the pillar of fire. It among us proves the same Jesus that once lived in Palestine, the same Spirit was upon Him, has come up through a body until it's come back. Headship has come back. Now I'm waiting for that to sink in because that's a serious thought. The previous age didn't have the fullness of headship. The Reformation never had the fullness of headship over the church. Headship was then the beginning with Paul. He met the head himself. And he instituted everything under the perfection of the fullness of divine headship. That's what Paul did in the beginning. Then through the ages, we've lost so much in the battle for truth, the prophet says. The bride had to go through the ox age, the seed had to be buried in the earth. The bride had to go through the man age, the missionary age, and so forth. But in our age, with Elijah coming back, there's got to be a return of headship.
Amen.
Now this headship is going to have implications on everything we do.
Amen.
Because God's expecting us now that headship's come back, that we operate under that headship. Before, in days of ignorance, God winked at it. But now headship's come back. Our friends, to me that was a strong point when I thought of it this week. I said, Lord, what a wonderful thing that you've done. But what a serious thing that it is. That headship has come back once again. And look at the headship. The headship is working through the prophet, first of all. Here's headship, the fullness of the Godhead, the Logos himself, has come back. The fullness of the divine mind. The fullness of the divine mystery. The fullness of the divine purpose and plan that he had in his mind. Whew, friends.
Amen.
And then people leave this message. I don't understand those kinds of people. And I don't ever want to understand them because I'm going to have to get in the same spirit as them to understand them. And I do want to understand them. I just want to stay here. And I just want to go deeper here. And I just want to get more in harmony with this headship. So friends, when you're speaking of getting in harmony, when Paul says growing up into him who is the head, it's you getting in harmony with this headship of the pillar of fire in your calling, in your office, in your ministry, in whatever God has called you. It's an individual thing that works within the body. But each member of the body has to come in harmony with this headship. That's one that we need to really meditate on, friends. As a musician, as a song leader, as a deacon, a trustee, a pastor, a teacher, evangelist, any of the gifts of the Spirit, any of the administrations, the helps, the various offices in the family, a husband, a wife, a child, if we're really desiring God's blessing, God's fullness, we've got to come under that headship. We have to.
Amen.
If we really want Him to manifest Himself at evening time,
Hallelujah.
We've got to come under that headship.
Amen.
Fully under that headship. Amen. And like I say, it's not a one day affair that.
Amen.
It's uniting with His Word. It's an invisible union. It's really getting serious about what God has called each of us to be. As a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, whatever. That you are in church. Whatever God has called you to be in His body, for you and I to really be what He's called us to be in the body, depends on us coming in harmony with this headship here. Because the prophet was the first in our age who came in harmony with the headship that returned. He was the first. That's why the spoken word came forth. That's how God did the things that He did. Because here was a man who God had trained him up, brought him up, equipped him, brought him to being a prisoner to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A prisoner to this divine headship. And that's why this headship could so flow through this man. Until people so saw Jesus working through the man, they wanted to worship the man instead of worshiping Jesus. Which was wrong. But it just shows how in harmony this man was with the headship. There wasn't much of William Branham in the way anymore. That was blocking the flow of God's purpose that He wanted to manifest through this ministry, coming through the man to the body. And don't forget, friends, what Paul told us. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to us all to profit by. Not one man, not one woman. If God's given you a gift, He wants you to put it under His headship. So that He can flow through that gift to edify, to build up the body,
Amen.
To bless the body. And when we miss that, we've missed the purpose of our calling. When we're missing that, we're falling short of the holy calling that the Bible tells us that we're called unto. And friends, we can't be in harmony with His headship and be out of harmony with everybody else in the body. It doesn't work. We can be out of harmony with people that are out of harmony, yes. But in the body, there's always going to be some people who are in harmony.
Amen.
And when you get into harmony, you automatically come into harmony with them.
Amen.
And there's a witness in the body that knows there's a harmony here.
Amen.
There's something good. There's potential, and it's growing. There's something good. That's the headship that he's speaking about. Now, questions and answers. And Christ is a mystery of God revealed. Now, the message that he speaks the most about headship is in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Many quotes about headship in there. Remember Brother Beckett, the first time he came to us when we were still in Marrowbone Lane. And he came and he only could come on the Wednesday evening. There weren't many of us there. But he preached on headship. That was a mighty message, friends. I've never forgotten the principles that he said on headship there. The headship in the home, the headship in the church, the headship in, and how you can never expect someone to respect your headship if you're not fully under headship.
Amen.
That's why that centurion said, I'm a man under authority. Yeah? And I have authority, and I tell people to obey and they obey. You see, he understood that principle.
Amen.
And therefore grace could flow through. Such an important principle, friends. Let me tell you the truth. You'll never be in the rapture without a harmony under headship. Never. There's no individual rapture for any person. We each have to come into harmony with His purpose. And when we come into harmony with His purpose, we're going to harmonize with the rest of the body, the invisible body. Not everybody in any one church is the body of Christ. The prophet says there's three kinds of believers. Now you would like to believe every person is, but it's an invisible body. It's a universal body. And when you in harmony under His headship, you're going to automatically be in harmony with the rest of the body no matter where you go. You will harmonize. That's how when people cause big fusses and stirs and that in the bride, I wonder about what headship's going on here, because genuine headship should bring us into a harmony.
Amen.
With those that are called under the same headship. So the prophet says, now notice now, united together under one headship. In a like manner, type of Israel of old. We'll get onto that just now. Now, are you getting it? Like Israel of old, one God. Vindicated by a pillar of fire, revealed Himself through a prophet to be the Word. The same God, the same pillar of fire, the same way. He cannot change His ways, just as perfect as it can be. What's He saying here? It's an Exodus time. Always an Exodus time, headship comes back. At the end of the age, headship came back in Egypt. They'd been 400 years without headship, without the pillar of fire. They were worshipping, they were grinding away. But at Exodus time, the headship came back.
Amen.
And the first man who got in harmony with the headship was Moses. God had to train him 40 years in the backside of the desert to be able to operate under this headship, to put him in that condition. And then we saw, if you had a camera in those days, you would have seen the pillar of fire over Moses. God was showing the order of headship for the age. God Himself, the Logos. His prophet messenger for the age. I'll just show you. Then under there, the fivefold ministry. The gifts and the offices, administrations and so forth. There's an order here. There's a headship. But it all comes down to the headship that's at the top there, which is the head Himself has returned to the body. He hasn't returned in his corporal body, but he's returned in the fullness in every other way. And friends, that is the resource. That is the being that is called you. And that is the being that is called me. And all he's wanting us to do is find a harmony. Is to find, get into the realm of revelation, understanding of, Lord, why did you call me? What is your purpose? How do you want to work through me? What is my purpose in the body? And once you start moving closer and closer into that harmony, like I say, the proof of it is the Word starts being made flesh. There starts being a ministration to the body. There's an edification. There's a manifestation. Whatever God's calling is that He's called you to. But it shows that now you're lining up. You're starting to get in order with the great divine order, the great church order, the great order of the church that God has set for this age. It's got to be like that. But headship has come back in Eden. Let's bring it to a close with these kind of thoughts. Let's take it back to the beginning again. Let's think of the first time that headship had to come. When did headship come? It was when the earth was without form and void. And there was darkness and a confusion over God's creation. But God wouldn't leave things like that.
Amen.
So what does it say? It says the Spirit of God, the same Logos, the same one that we saw in the picture there. He came down into Eden, to the earth before Eden was formed. When the earth was without form, it's okay, thanks. When the earth was without form and void. And he came now and he hovered over that. He brooded. The prophet says he overshadowed the petroleum and he overshadowed the darkness and he overshadowed the disorder that was there. And he came with that great anointing of the Logos. And then he started to speak. And he said, let there be. And coming now from the headship, he started to speak. And as he started to speak, the prophet says he was making love with his creation. And then from the disorder, things started to line up in order.
Amen.
According to the great purpose he had in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to leave things outside of his divine order. So he himself had to come down with headship. In Satan's Eden. Yeah? In a sense. I mean, Satan was the one who caused it, we know. But he came down in Eden then, and he comes down in Satan's Eden now. But it's the same headship. And he starts to put things in order. And everything starts coming into its place according to a specific time. On the first day, this separates from that. Then on the second day, he separates that from something else. On the third day, he brings forth whatever it was. The fourth day, bringing up right the way up to leadership, which was man. And his creation now is starting to work in harmony with his divine thought, his purpose, the vision that he had. And what does he do? He looks at it and says, it's good. It's good.
Amen.
Everything was in order. Everything was ministering to everything else. Everything was in its place and everything was in its position. Everything was bringing forth the fruit it was ordained to bring forth. And then Satan came in. We know that. And he came and he broke down that order. And then we go through the whole of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament church, the Jewish church age. And at the end of that age, what do we have coming back again? The head comes back again. In Christ, yes, to die, but then he comes back on the Damascus Road. Because things are not in order. There's been a Pentecost. There's been a church that's been born 20 years before, whatever it was, or 10 years, whatever the period was. But like Brother Beckett said, he says, between Pentecost and the coming of Paul, there was no headship. There was no headship. That's why there was no real church, New Testament church. But in due season, the pillar of fire came back and came down to the messenger on the Damascus Road and commissioned him to go to the Gentiles. Then the church ages started. And then Paul started to set things in order. Paul was the one who had the revelation of the body.
Amen.
A body being combined, both Jews and Gentiles. Peter, none of them had that revelation. It was hard for them. That's how Peter would fellowship with the Gentiles, and when the Jews would come, he'd separate himself. And Paul would have to correct him and say he was to be blamed. Because he's, you know, he doesn't, but you've got to understand. Peter was the apostle to the circumcision, the Jews. But Paul had the fullness of the revelation of the mystery.
Amen.
He had been caught up into the third heaven. He had that calling, he had that unction, that anointing. And the whole purpose of it, Paul now comes to set the church in order. Because the Corinthians aren't in order. You know, they've got the gifts, they've got all the individual talents in there, but they're not working to edify each other. They're working to glorify themselves. And God is not the author of confusion. So he now starts to institute order. But the prophet says there was one church in order, which was the Ephesians. He says, and Paul could teach them the deeper things.
Amen.
He could teach them predestination. He could teach them about their purpose before the foundation of the earth. He could teach them about, you know, being in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and so forth. And then in paradox, I'll close with this. He says, but we promised according to Revelations 10. This is Paradox, 1965, Phoenix. According to Revelation 10 and according to Malachi 4 and St. Luke 22:17 and so forth, there's got to come an Ephesians with this. And that's why he preaches Joshua parallels Ephesians. Because once Moses went off the scene, the Joshua commission came. The captain of the Lord's host was on the scene and he came and directed Joshua and those under the Joshua commission to divide the land. The people had come out, now they went in and they found their places. The Levites, they found their position in the temple. The Gad, he found his position. Manasseh growing corn. Now the prophet says an adoption series. Each of them according to their birth. Not according to their desire, but according to their birth. According to what God had ordained them to be. Each one started to find their place and started to find their position. This one raises cattle. This one, his toe is dipped in oil. And this one, and all the different things we find. And the prophet looked at that. Then he looked at Paul and he says, Paul did the same in Ephesians. He set the church in order. You know, it was the Ephesian church age. And the prophet says at the beginning, he says, these things have got to come. There's got to come an Ephesians to this. There's promised it, friends. There must come an Ephesians. That these sevenfold mysteries of the word of God must be unfolded. In the Laodicean age, this takes place. We're right in the shadows of the coming of the Son of God. And as Joshua, just before the Ephesians raised up, so did John the Baptist raise up just before the next Ephesians. You know, Elijah came just before the next Ephesians. And we promised another Ephesians. It's predicted in the scriptures. Therefore, I think we are living in the Ephesians again. We are promised that which was left off through the seven church ages. Now, Ephesians is a very personal book. It's speaking about the individual call. It speaks of the ministry. It speaks of the body. But it speaks of each joint, each member. It speaks about coming to perfection. It speaks of growing up into headship in Him as individuals, but as a body. Just as much as Israel, 12 tribes, yet one nation. In 12 tribes, each one finding their place and their position. I'll finish with this one. God is rich in mercy. He says, if you'd like to mark the scripture down, I'd like to return to Ephesians. And I was speaking last Sunday on the Ephesians, how that the book of Joshua was the Ephesians of the Old Testament and how it was the book of redemption. We could get into that and show that what came in was after the Joshua commission, there came the time of the judges. When every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But in that time, as it came to the end of judges and there was such a confusion, you find the book of Ruth and you find the kinsman redeemer coming down to a certain field. Boaz coming to his field. And now there comes an order. Now there comes kinsman redemption. Now there comes a mystery unfolding itself. So even in the midst of Laodicea, which is the days of the judges, people's opinions, people's rights, every man doing what's right in his own eyes, God has the fulfillment of prophecy at the end. And that's where we're living. He says that in redemption has two different parts. Come out of and entering into. I remember Brother Max doing that in Sunday school. First, you have to come out. Some people want to bring the world in with them. But you've got to come out of the world to enter into Christ. You have to come out of unbelief to enter into faith. There cannot be one thing in your way. And that was the book of Ephesians of the Old Testament, Joshua. Moses represented the law. Could not save no one, but grace could. And here Joshua is the same word like Jesus, Jehovah Savior. We find out we've come to another Ephesians, another Ephesus now. Our intellectual denominations and so forth, our educational programs has come to its Jordan. We must have an Ephesians again. We must have an Exodus to come out and go into for the rapture. And that is why the mystery of church order is getting the church in order for the rapture. I remember Brother Beckett sent me a DVD. He preached a message called Getting Your Family in Order for the Rapture. And he has some very good messages like that. But that is what this order is about, friends. The great divine order, because headship has come back. He wants you and I in our positions. Because that's what brings on the rapture, as we saw last week. He needs to bring the disorder of the earthly host in order with the order of the heavenly host. Then we become the mighty marching army. Then the Spirit can flow through. Then the Lord can send the fire down on the evening sacrifice. But I'm sure that you see, friends, just as we close, that this one of order is a deeper thing. You know, because like I said, the first thing you think of in church order is you think about the order of the sanctuary, which is an important part of church order. You think of all these different things that we speak about church order. But friends, it needs a revelation. It needs an anointing. It needs a harmony between you and the headship himself. Otherwise, it's very hard to find people coming in harmony with one another. So let's seek it as we continue on this topic. Let's stand by the grace of God, and may the Lord bless you. The prophet says, I'll just read it as we come. He says in the Church Age book, when he says, notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride.
Amen.
Amen. And from Wednesday, be it unto me according to your word. I'm sure that's your desire as well.
I have heard thy voice, and it's all thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of thee and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy let my soul look up with the steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine.
Draw me nearer.
Draw me nearer.
Draw me nearer.
Nearer, blessed to thy cross, where I commune as friend.
Draw me nearer, Lord. Draw me nearer. Oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross, where thou wilt die.
to thy precious inside. Let's sing one more. Clean heart and renew a right spirit within. Right spirit within me,
cast me not,
cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from
me.
Restore unto me the joy. Thy presence, O Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within. And renew a right spirit within me, creating me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me,
cast me not,
cast me not away. Thy presence, O Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Take it now.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit. And renew a right spirit within me.
Renew, my Lord, within me.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Let's bow our heads, saints. Is anybody here today? And you look at the disorder of your life, and you know that that disorder is one simple cause. It's because you've never submitted yourself under the divine headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never given yourself from your heart to Him to say, Lord, here am I. I just want to lay it upon the altar today, Lord. I don't want to reason it out anymore. I don't want to make excuses. Lord, I don't want to hide behind other people. I don't want to hide behind circumstances, but I just want to come honestly to you today, Lord, because you see the disorder. You see, Lord, that there's a darkness. There's a chaos, Lord. But Father, knowing your grace, oh Lord, you've drawn nigh unto me this day. Oh, your divine headship, your spirit, Lord, has drawn nigh unto me, Lord. And you're trying to woo me, Lord. You're speaking to me, Lord. And I just want to yield myself unto you. Lord, I can't change myself. I can't do anything, Lord, to bring an order myself inside of my soul. It's going to take you, Lord. I'm yielding myself unto you. But Lord, today I raise my hand to you and I say, Lord, here am I. Lord, bring light into my darkness, Lord. Lord, lead an order, bring me into an order, into a harmony with you. No matter the need that you have, saints, that is the answer. He is the answer. If you've got problems in your home, ask yourself the question, Lord, am I in harmony with you? Lord, have I put myself under your headship, Lord? If not, why not just in your heart look unto him upon this day and say, Lord, I want to put myself under your headship now. Because how can I expect my children to come into harmony? Lord, if I'm above them and I'm not in a harmony with you, how can I expect my wife, how can I expect my family, Lord, to get anywhere? When, Lord, I haven't done the same thing myself. I'm not bringing myself under your divine headship. May the Lord start a work there today. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, Jesus is the answer. His Logos is the answer. His presence, His Spirit is the answer. His Word is the answer. We don't need anything else, friends. And headship has come back in our age. Headship has come to overshadow His church once again, and He's trying to minister us into a divine order, into a church order, that He can show who's who, that He can manifest Himself, that He can reveal Himself. If that's your desire, why not raise your hands to Him upon this day and say, Jesus, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Let's sing that song as a prayer today. All to you, Jesus, we surrender and we give it to you. Have the preeminence in the midst of your people. Be glorified, we pray, Lord. Jesus, I surrender. I will live out love and trust in His presence daily. I surrender. Jesus, I A short time before the Lord, whatever the Lord is in your heart, let's express ourselves. Let's come to a short time of prayer. Let's sing, I bless your name. And whatever the Lord's pressing upon you, just speak back to him, whatever simple way you desire. Let's come to a time of prayer.
Prisoners chained with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing. The truth, the way, I bless your name, I bless your name. Sunday night, oh, you should find, you're in a prayer.
Reach out and pray.
Defy those chains.
Defy those chains.
They will go in Jesus' name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all. I give you praise. You are the light,
the truth away.
I bless your name.
I bless your name. Reach out by
faith,
to heights unknown, we'll find you're not alone.
I bless your name,
I bless your name, I bless your name, I give I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way.
I bless
your name. I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name. I give you all, I give you
praise.
You are the light, the truth of it. I bless your name, I bless your name.
Let's all pray, saints. Father, so grateful, so thankful, Lord, upon this day that we can call your sons and your daughters, Lord. So glad and so grateful, Lord, just for an opportunity, Lord, to be able to worship thee, Father, just to bless your name. Father, that is our desire, Lord, upon this day. You are good, Lord. Father, your mercy. Oh Father, we bring ourselves before thee, Lord. Father, how we love your presence, Lord. How we love fellowship with you. Father, and how we just, Lord, long just to live a life that would be in such a harmony with your will, that you may be like Jesus. Oh, Lord, that, Father, your will could be done, that when we're at work or when we're at school, Lord, we can be the Word made flesh, that, Lord, you can work through us, Lord, and, Father, minister, Lord, to the lost and minister to the dying and minister, Lord, to your sons and your daughters, that, Father, we may be a light. Father, as we see the darkness getting thicker, we see what people have voted for, Father. Oh, Father, we see the hour is late. Father, and how we just need, Lord, to ask of thee for that final quickening inside of us, Lord. That should quicken us to that place that, Father, your perfect will may be done. That, Father, you'd look down and that you would say, it's good. That you'd look down at your sons and your daughters, Lord, and say, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. This is my daughter, hear ye her. Father, continue to lead us, Lord, as we wait upon thee, Lord. Forgive us for our sins and our transgressions. Thank you, Lord, for a perfect token, a sacrifice that you've made for us. Thank you that you said if you walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Oh, Father, continue to lead us, Lord. Father, bring us to maturity, to perfection, Lord. Father, when we were children, we thought as children. But Father, we long to lay aside childish things. Father, we long to come unto perfection. We long, Lord, to come to that place that, Father, would be golden brown in our souls, Lord. That, Father, when you'd see the image in us, it would correspond to the image in your mind. And Father, something would take place that, Father, would take us out of this world for your glory is our desire. Each hand that was raised, we do pray for every life that is represented, Lord. Father, you speak light. Father, you speak your word. Father, you separate the light from the darkness, Lord. May you minister order where there's disorder. Father, may you just grant grace, brood over the souls of your people. And Father, make love with us inside of our souls, Lord, that Father, when we'd examine your order, Father, we may just fall in love with your order. That Father, when we'd think of the way you want us to dress, Oh, Father, it would be a joy for us to do it, Lord, that you may be pleasing unto you. That, Father, may have the same mind as you. Father, that these things, Lord, may be a life unto us. Lord, that there may be something, that there's a harmony in us, that there's an amen in us that corresponds, Lord, to these things is our desire. Bless each officer in the post of duty. Thank you for the faithfulness, Lord, of our officers. Lord, bless them. Father, the musicians, the song leaders, Lord, we thank you for them. The Sunday school teachers, Lord. Father, the ministers, Lord, bless them upon this day. And Father, continue to lead us and guide us. Lord, be it them that haven't managed to come upon this day. We do dedicate them to thee. Watch over them, Lord, we'd pray. And even as we'd go from this place, Lord, give us traveling mercies, Lord, and watch over us, Lord. Thank you for prospering your people, Lord, in the exam, seeing them through, Father. Lord, we thank you for these things, Lord. Be glorified in your people is our desire. Be glorified in our midst until we meet once again. May you be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So it's just a couple of announcements. The first one is this Wednesday we're having a special prayer meeting for the youth. As you can see, we're trying every second Wednesday to have something for the youth. Like I said last time, everyone's free to come, please. It's not just youth. But we always start earlier for the youth. They asked for that, so we start at 6:30. Start singing at 6:30. It's a special prayer meeting. Prayer is an important thing. So please pray about that. And if you can, come and support, please. Come and support. But it's 6:30 on Wednesday. Also, Brother Wilmer wants to do something here for Sunday school. We just ask him to come and do it now. Maybe you see the tents.
Where are those children? Stacy. William. And Doug. We just wanted to say thank you to two of our teachers. They have decided to take some time off to rest a little bit from Sunday school, Sister Kitana and Sister Ingrida. And on behalf of all the children that are in here, we just want to present these little gifts to you as a token of our thank you for a job well done.
Hallelujah.
So if you may come and receive it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you very much. The children will miss you, and please come back as soon as possible.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand once more, saints. We do thank the Lord for the Sunday school. Kitana now is getting a little bit too big. She's due on 21st of June. So please be in prayer. It's hard for her to sleep. If it's hard for her to sleep, and sometimes it's hard for me to sleep as well. So you know what it's like. So may the little boy come forth in Jesus' name is our desire. As soon as possible. And let's sing one more as we dismiss in Jesus' name. Why? Jesus loves me. I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory to bring to us redemption's story. Then he died, but he rose again. So glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loves me.
I don't know why.
I don't know why he cares.
I don't know why.
I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. So glad he did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me?
Where would I be?
Where would I be if Jesus didn't care?
Where would I be? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life?
Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did.
I don't know why.
right.